for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Don't need me to tell you that we live in a world of moral chaos. It seems that increasingly, year after year, things that maybe even a few years ago we thought were sort of set in stone, were just normal behaviour, have been undermined constantly. These figures here are shocking. In 2015, that's the latest figures that we have, 190,000 abortions carried out in England, Wales and Scotland. World Health Organization say there are between 40 and 50 million abortions every single year in the world. And I thought this wee thing here, you know, the billions, not millions, but the billions that governments around the world spend on trying to find life on other planets, always searching for life, and yet life in the womb. Life in the womb has become so cheap, just quickly thrown away. We have protected nature reserves, trees, mountains, hills, rivers, fields, dandelions, you name it, plants, all protected. Fish in the ocean, protected. Birds of the air, protected. If you're caught in America stealing an eagle's egg, you'll be fined $250,000. You'll be imprisoned for up to 2 years. And yet, babies in the womb are not protected. Moral chaos. We also have, increasingly, the transgender movement. I tell you, a few years ago, most of us had never heard of this. And everywhere you go, almost every program you now watch on TV, this is on the agenda, transgender. You see down here, that is a children's storybook, Jacob's New Dress. Children from as young as 3 years of age, or a wee girl maybe saying, I'm not a wee girl, I'm a wee boy. And parents giving into that, dressing them in boys' clothes. There you see Belfast City Hall lit up, colours of the rainbow, God's colours, and it's called Gay Pride in our time. And here we have shocking picture, gay marriage, and it has become as the accepted norm in Britain. Two men or two women choosing not just to live together, not just choosing to do what the Bible calls an abomination, but to publicly and according to the laws in our society say, we are married. We are being accepted as a married couple in this world. And then euthanasia and assisted suicide, right from the baby in the womb to the most vulnerable in our society. Friends, this is coming our way when they are saying at end of life, your life isn't worth anything. People who are disabled are saying, your life isn't worth anything. We want to help you to die. We want to get rid of you. We live in a time of moral chaos. We have a time when bishops, ministers, priests are saying, I'm gay, and just get over that. When people who are saying they are preaching the word of God, but blatantly going against it, living against it, what days? Now here, some of you will have seen this in the last couple of weeks on TV in a program about the West of Ireland, an amazing couple of programs. That is a monastery on Skellig Island on the west coast of Ireland. Well, obviously there's no monks living there now. But many years ago, people, Christian people said, in their time, the world is evil. There's moral chaos. What are we as Christians to do? And they decided that they would get out of the sinful world. They would escape the sinful world. They would run and they would seek God in inaccessible places. And they built monasteries in wee bits of islands sticking out of the sea like this in Ireland and in many other countries in the world, in high rocks far away from the normal mass of humanity, people building monasteries, trying to seek God. Well, this evening, I want to give you God's way. Psalm 11. If you want to turn to Psalm 11, or it'll be on the screen here, If you want to read along. I'm going to read Psalm 11. I'm going to read two verses from Psalm 12 as well. Psalm of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain or run off to your monastery in a deserted island somewhere? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. And Psalm 12, in the very last verse, verse 8. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. And verse 6. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Psalm 11 opens with words that we might on first reading take to be words of comfort for every believer. In the Lord I take refuge. But in the present context, these are actually bold words of declaration. David is facing intense difficulties, dangers, and he has been advised by some people, run for the hills, David. Run to your mountain. Run away from the danger. Hide from the danger. But rather than run, David declares, I take refuge in the Lord. That is the opposite of running. So these words are familiar to us. In the Lord I take refuge. We hear them preached about. But what do they actually mean? Practically speaking, how can you and I take refuge in the Lord? Does he mean that we, like ancient monks and ancient Christians, run off to remote places and hide, cut ourselves off from the sin that's all around us, from the downward spiral of morality, hide away from the mess and just rest in the Lord? Is that what he's saying? Over the years, Christians have attempted to do that. They've cut themselves off, lived in separate little communities, no contact with the outside world. And you know something, at times, when we see the enormity, when you think 40 to 50 million abortions a year, when you think that children in schools are being taught that homosexual relationships are normal, when gay people get married and can adopt already vulnerable children, when that all becomes normal, sometimes we feel like, I want to run away. I want to escape to some remote place and cut myself off from this. But you know something? We would all love to find refuge in the Lord in some idyllic environment. But that's not what David had in mind. In fact, David is challenging this very notion in Psalm 11 because an anonymous speaker here is saying to David, that's what you should do. He said, flee like a bird to your mountain. Now, we don't know what David was facing. Many people think it's when Saul was trying to seek his life. We don't know, and maybe better we don't know, because then we can apply it to ourselves. But the anonymous speaker asks this very poignant question. And I think this question is so applicable to our times. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, the speaker here, the questioner, he is suggesting to David, the situation is so bad, David, you should fly away to your mountain, you should go to your stronghold, you should bolt down there, because the situation is so bad, you should just wait out there, because there's no other option available. It's looking so bad, David. The enemy is so powerful. The evil is so pervasive. It would be futile, even dangerous and foolish, to try to do anything about it. The foundation of society is being destroyed. What can the righteous do? That's a rhetorical question. He's asking, what can the righteous do? And expecting the answer, nothing. The righteous cannot do anything. The situation has gone beyond reversal. The righteous are incapable of doing anything about it. Morality is falling apart. Lawlessness abounds. Just escape to the mountain. David's indignant reply is, how can you say this to me? Because the Lord is my refuge. Refuge in the Lord is not retreat from the threat. It is not retreat from the world. Refuge in the Lord is not running into isolation. So if it's not that, then what is it? I believe that taking refuge in the Lord is knowing, understanding and believing three things about God that are talked about in this psalm. Three simple points. Where is God in all of this? What is he doing right now? And what is he going to do? Where is God in all of this? And I ask you just to cast your mind back to those pictures and to what you see on the screen and the papers and all around every day. Where is God in all of this? Believers are familiar with that question, sometimes a sarcastic question, thrown up when tragedy occurs. People who have no time for God, who reject the claims of God, and then when something happens, they sarcastically ask the Christians, where is your God in all of this? How can this God of love that you talk about, how can he allow this to happen? Christians are flummoxed quite often by such questions. And the truth is, when we see the swell of immorality, the degradation and the depravity that seems to be swamping our world, none of us is exempt from feeling the weight of it. We feel the burden of it. And as Christians, we sing and we speak about the power of God. And yet sometimes we look and we ask, is God powerless to stop all this evil that is happening in the world? Maybe we wonder, where is God in the midst of it? What can the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? David says, the first step in taking refuge in the Lord is reminding yourself of where exactly God is. First step. Think, well, maybe that's a very basic thing. But you know something? If we don't fix our mind on the basics, fix our mind on the foundational truths, we can so easily be overwhelmed. David says, all around I see chaos, I see disorder, I see threat, I see violence. Where's my God? He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Did you hear that? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. If we focus firstly on the world and the evil and the chaos, we will be overwhelmed. We lift our hearts to the Lord. He is in his holy temple. He is seated on his heavenly throne. He is in control. We must not take from this that he's up there and he's so far removed from it all, so far removed from the realities of this world that he's uninvolved in it. We'll see from the rest of the psalm that he's active. But the first thing to note, he is the sovereign Lord who is reigning over all. When David says, Lord, you're in your holy temple. Now, you might know that the temple wasn't actually built yet, the earthly temple, because David's son Solomon built that years later. David may have been thinking back to that tabernacle, to the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place. But I think he's probably just thinking about God in heaven. God in heaven, the home of holiness, purity, the perfection of God. That's where God is. God is there in bright, shining holiness, majesty, and splendor. He's there. And on his heavenly throne, the seat of power, the seat of authority, the seat of the sovereign Lord God who rules over all. And David knows that God on that seat of authority will one day judge in righteousness. David's probably looking for God to render righteous judgment on the earth at his appointed time. God is not absent. God is not absent. God is not unaware what is going on in his world. God is seated on his heavenly throne in his holy temple. I think when I read that, I thought of the amazing description from Isaiah 6. Isaiah is that vision. He said, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. Two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. What a vision. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is our God. This is your God. This is who he is. And in these dark days, when the very foundations of our society are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lift up your eyes and see your God. See him in his holy temple. See him ruling and reigning on his heavenly throne. What is God doing right now? Some people think God is inactive. They think he hasn't got a clue. They think he's powerless to do anything. This is not the case. Do you know what God is doing right now? Wherever it is. 7:43 p.m. Right now, God is watching every move of every single person on the face of this earth. That's what God's doing. He is examining every thought, every motive, every word, every action. This is not, I'm not talking here about some kind of general observation of the big heaving mass of humanity. I'm not talking about the wide angle lens getting the big picture. This is God, up close and personal, seeing every single action, knowing every single thought, reading every single motive of every single person on this earth at this precise moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, escapes his notice. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. Many people assume because they don't see some big dramatic intervention from God that he doesn't exist or he's far removed, he's irrelevant to the world. The wicked plot their evil schemes without thought of God. Legislators cave in to the humanistic folly that is in our world, and they think that they can remove every law that upholds decency and stability within their society, and they think they'll get away with it and nothing will stand in their way. They don't realize they'll be held to account. But let it be known, God is not removed from his world. God is not irrelevant. Let it be known that God is not inactive. God is watching. A truth the Bible says time and time again. No one is outside God's field of vision. Jeremiah 23 and 24. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Proverbs 5:21, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his path. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. That's what the Lord's doing. And for the righteous, because it says he examines the righteous, listen to these wonderful words. You're asking, what can the righteous do? For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Wonderful. And finally, what is he going to do? This final point this evening, it is a powerful and a sobering truth that we must never forget. The Lord is watching, he's observing, he's examining every person. But the Bible says he is coming back to judge. And although we long to see the righteous judgment of God, and I'm sure like me, you long to see an end to violence. You long to see an end to the depravity that takes place on this earth. You long to see an end to the suffering that is caused through sin. And yet we understand the delay. Peter says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. That's to return to judge. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But Peter also tells us he will come like a thief. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. And David says there in Psalm 11, verse 6, on the wicked, he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. you have any Bible knowledge at all, you will immediately be thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah and God's destruction through those means. Now, David is not saying that God, that is a method of destruction he's always going to use. But he's saying God's judgments may be delayed according to our time scale, but they will come. They will come at God's appointed time. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading Psalm 12 just in my own devotions. And that verse, those five couple of verses from Psalm 12 we read, really stood out to me. Verse 8, the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. If ever there was a concise summary statement of 21st century world, that is it. It seems strutting about and honouring vileness is the hallmark of contemporary crumbling society. Pride and glorying in what is essentially depravity. It makes us hang our heads in shame. You wonder how much lower can this world sink into the moral cesspit that it's become. But don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't flee like a bird to your mountain. Don't withdraw into some kind of Christian ghetto. Let us declare like David, in the Lord I take refuge. And then let us boldly declare, Psalm 12 verse 6, the words of the Lord are flawless. I just pray that you get that as a revelation. The words of the Lord are flawless. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a walk by myself up the Sperrins. Not a soul did I see for 4 hours on a mountain. So that's always a good thing. You don't see anybody. And I'm up that mountain, and I'd been reading this, and I had my wee New Testament and Psalms with me. And I was just standing on that mountain, and I felt like I got a new revelation of these words. I was just standing there with my hands raised, shouting out over the Sperrins and over the island of Ireland, the words of the Lord are flawless. They are flawless. We are, every one of us, disgusted, appalled, brokenhearted at what we see happening. The foundations are being destroyed. And sometimes we fall into that, oh, what can the righteous do? Let me just flee to my mountain. Friends, we must stand up and say, no, it's not a time for fleeing to a mountain. It's not a time for running to a Christian bolt hole. It's a time for saying, in the Lord, I take refuge. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He rules. He reigns. He's examining. He sees it all. He's looking into every heart, and he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. That's what he's doing. The words of the Lord are flawless. His justice is right. But I couldn't conclude this evening without spending a couple of minutes on the last phrase of this psalm. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. Oh, if you're ever depressed, say to yourself, upright men will see his face. What a hope. What a hope. When the world, when God looks at the world and he sees the wicked, but the Bible said his eyes are always looking for the righteous. And when God sees you, do you know what he says? He said, you are justified through faith. You are righteous in my sight. And my eyes are looking to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you and give you strength to live in this filthy world and to proclaim my truth. And then we are going to see him face to face. I cannot but think of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. The evil men were gnashing their teeth at him. They had their hands over their ears and they were yelling at the tops of their voices and they were dragging him on the ground and they were stoning him. What sights and sounds filled Stephen's vision? Was it moral depravity? Was it the evil that surrounded him? Was it those men with their filthy thoughts and their filthy words and their evil intent? No, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Psalm 17:15, and I, in righteousness, I shall see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I close with some of my favorite words in all of Scripture. Job, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I am not another. How my heart yearns within me. In the Lord, I take refuge. This week, I heard of a lady, lovely Christian lady, an elderly lady, and she was diagnosed only a couple of weeks ago with light leukemia. She was told she just had very short time to live. She died even quicker than expected. Her last few hours, she was lying in bed, and she just called out and she says, Jesus, come and take me home. And she sat up and she sang two hymns. I can't remember what one of them was, but the other one was How Great Thou Art. That's not an easy hymn to sing when you're in the best of health, but she sang it. She lay down and she took six big breaths and she saw his face. That is the hope of every believer, to see his face. The upright will see his face. We live in this filthy world. We are not to cloister ourselves away from it. We are to be light within it. We are to speak of where our God is, ruling and reigning in his holy throne, in his holy temple, on his throne. We are to speak of what he's doing, he is examining. And we are to speak that he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And we are to declare to people that they can see his face by trusting in Jesus. What a hope. What a hope. May it fill your heart. And if you ever are looking at the news and just thinking, I can't believe it. I can't even listen to that. I can't take another thing. You say to yourself, the words of the Lord are flawless. In the Lord I trust. He's our refuge. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this psalm puts just that perfect perspective on your words. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Lord, I pray that you would help us in these times in which we live, very challenging times. Help us, Lord, to understand that when the foundations are being destroyed, what the righteous can do. That we can see you, Lord. We can live in your word and live it out. We can speak your incredibly flawless words into this dark world. Pray, Lord, that you would fill each believer with your Holy Spirit. Fill us all with that vision that we are going to see you face to face. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.